Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. For newcomers, I'm Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. You might ask, what do pastors know about politics? Well, we don't have to know everything, but in that we have a working knowledge of the Bible, we have the ethical framework for discussing and discerning the difference between what is right and wrong. I think the best analogy is of a basketball referee. He may not be an expert in playing basketball, but he knows when experts make a foul play because he knows the rules of the game. You know, such is the case of theologians. 1 Corinthians 2:15, he who is spiritual praises all things. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. And the prophet Malachi explains the role of the priest. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, for the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now in the New Testament, in Christ, all Christians are priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a royal priesthood. We are royalty by virtue of being part of the family of King Jesus, and we are his priests or representatives. Well, the lesson that God has put before us this week is this whole issue of free speech. Think for a moment about how everything in the news over the past few months has touched on this issue of free speech. Russia's silencing of citizens who are opposing their invasion of Ukraine. DeSantis limiting the free speech of teachers who want to teach transgenderism to young children. The controversy over Elon Musk buying Twitter so that the social platform will no longer censor political content. All the news of social media censoring conservatives. The outing of the creator of the libs of TikTok. And now the big news. The administration has announced that the Department of Homeland Security will be creating a disinformation board to deal with speech that might threaten the state. Now, I have a personal interest in this whole issue of free speech because last week, YouTube took down three of my programs about the 2020 election. Program 175 by Intrigue, Program 148, A Better Kingdom, and Program number 149, the Stop the Steal rally. And I kind of really like that program because I did a montage of footage I took at the January 6th rally, just explaining what the protest was all about, what it looked like. With that takedown, I was given a strike, so I couldn't post to YouTube last week. Now, this was not the first time YouTube has taken down one of my programs. I believe I'm up to number 8 now. But this is the first time they took down 3 programs in 1 week. And this is the first time they went back and took out programs that were posted a year and a half ago. The content moderators at YouTube must be on a mission to remove any information that casts doubts on the legitimacy of President Biden. They're calling it disinformation, but that's a matter of opinion. There's a conservative website called The Daily Signal, and it also posted that YouTube has recently took down 2 of their videos about election integrity, videos that were posted last year. So why is this happening? Well, the president's press secretary, Jen Psaki, has admitted that the Biden administration is working with social media companies to target political misinformation, specifically concerning COVID and the election. And the government is actually explaining to these media companies the sites and the information that needs to be taken down. And this is unconstitutional because the First Amendment states Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. And the courts have been very strict against government putting limits on free speech. But look at what these government operatives are now doing. They're instead getting around this First Amendment by putting pressure on private companies to limit free speech, because the First Amendment applies only to what the government can't do, not to what private individuals and companies can't do. But for the government to influence companies or individuals in any way to limit free speech is also unconstitutional. But we know what the left has been doing in recent years. They've been saying, we know this is unconstitutional, but we're going to sign it anyway. It ties up the issue in courts. They may get 2 to 4 years of their policies being implemented before it gets taken down by the Supreme Court. And they might actually get a liberal judge agreeing with them, one who wants to reinterpret the Constitution. And besides, there's no penalty for politicians who pass something that's unconstitutional. It's not as if they have to pay a fine or go to jail, and the government pays for all of the legal expenses. Well, back to the big news. The Biden administration has announced the creation of this disinformation board as part of Homeland Security. You would think that since Russia has recently cracked down his free speech, and since Elon Musk is putting an end to leftist censorship on Twitter, that the politicians would realize the direction of the political wind, that they need to let up on censorship. But instead, they're doubling down on it, responding to Elon Musk buying Twitter by creating a disinformation board, getting the government more involved in policing social media. Republicans in Congress and in the Senate, you know, have already called this board unconstitutional, a violation of the First Amendment. And since Congress holds the purse strings, Congresswoman Laura Boebert, a Republican from Colorado, is calling upon Congress to withhold money from the DHS that would be used for this disinformation board. Another article here from the GOP leader, Kevin McCarthy. He torches Biden administration over new Orwellian disinformation governance board. Quote, leave it to the Democrats to think free speech is the problem and more government is the solution. The notion that the same party that spent 4 years promoting the Russian collusion hoax, suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story, and equating parents with domestic terrorists believes it has the credibility to tell Americans what is true is laughable. And it's telling that the person who would run Biden's Orwellian disinformation governance board is a political activist who has a long history of falling for and spreading disinformation. It's easy to imagine this person abusing the term disinformation to suppress facts and spin away inconvenient truths about the administration's many failures, including their failure to secure the border. The idea that the federal government should control speech sounds uncomfortably close to the thought police. Biden must immediately abandon his plan to create a modern-day Ministry of Truth, unquote Kevin McCarthy, head of the Republicans in Congress. So the irony of this disinformation board hasn't been lost on the public. In George Orwell's novel 1984, which is a description of a dystopian communist future, Big Brother has what's called the Ministry of Truth, which determines what is true and what is false. And of course, what is false is anything that contradicts those in power. And yet, the political left in America, with a straight face, is now creating a disinformation board, even though the very concept of it is the evil in every movie and novel. And they're probably doing this because, in their heart of hearts, they really like the concept of Big Brother. And they think, well, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. You know, like in Orwell's other novel, Animal Farm, many of the animals thought it'd be a great idea for the pigs to take control of the farm. The press secretary, Psaki, said, quote, we know that there has been a range of disinformation out there about a range of topics. I mean, including COVID, for example, and also elections and eligibility. It sounds like the objective of the board is to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities. I'm not sure who opposes that effort. Well, those who believe that this administration is calling truth disinformation in order to suppress truth oppose the creation of this board. In the left's creation of this board, I can't help thinking of the prophecy in Ezekiel 38:17. Thus saith the Lord God, are you he of whom it has been spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? In other words, in the future, people will be saying to these rebels, aren't you the evil one spoken about in the prophecy? Aren't you fulfilling the very prophecy given through Ezekiel? And in regard to this disinformation board, in doing this, are you not the ones doing the very thing our founders warned against doing? So there's a lesson here about the deceitfulness of sin, how the unsaved don't see themselves and their actions objectively, historically, how they walk right into the mistakes of the past, the evils of Mao and Stalin. There's a lesson here about how the unsaved are darkened in their understanding. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, how the ungodly lack a proper sense of self-awareness. And there's a lesson here about the need for salt and light in this world. If this is what the left does, imagine what would happen if there were no conservative, biblically-based people to call them out. They would create a ministry of truth. They would jail their opponents. They would eliminate free speech. Everything would be owned and controlled by the government. Because it's the very nature of the unsaved to have an aversion to freedom and to desire control. Government is their god. And it's no coincidence that communism and secular humanism are joined at the hip. Well, now that there is a pushback against Biden's new disinformation board, which we can call the Ministry of Truth, there's a whole moral lesson to be learned as we sit back and watch what the left is now saying to justify this board. A whole program could be entitled Understanding or Examining the Left's Justification for a Disinformation Board. And the administration is saying that disinformation needs to be stopped because this is necessary to stop violence, to stop domestic terrorism. Speech hurts people, and it's just as damaging as physical violence, which is what we've been hearing from the leftist intellectuals for the last 10 years, that free speech needs to be censored because speech is violence. And since we have laws against violence, we need to have laws against free speech. And the justification given for social media censorship regarding the election is the January 6th rally. The claim is that if we don't censor election doubts, then there might be a violent insurrection against the government. And regardless of whether or not that's true, this is a very convenient excuse for the left to use to shut down what they want to shut down anyway, the opinions of their political opponents. Whenever free speech is shut down, the public knows that it's so outrageous that the anti-free speech people need to come up with a very strong excuse, such as lives are at stake, claiming that the hierarchy of laws means that life, the preservation of life, needs to come above free speech, or that social order must come above free speech. Case in point, the Reichstag fire, 1933. Someone set on fire the German parliament building, and Hitler used that as an excuse to enact martial law, emergency orders to limit free speech, and to go after his opponents. Sound familiar? COVID emergency powers and censoring questions of election integrity. By the way, this is why the entering of the Capitol by some protesters on January 6th, which is really not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, is being made out by the left to be an insurrection and the worst attack on democracy in American history. Because that depiction justifies their censorship. But it's really all about wanting to censor opponents. So in explaining the left's reason for the misinformation board, one must understand how the left is saying that speech is violence. And critical race theory also teaches that the white majority and their Western values, which is code for Christian values, uses free speech to oppress. And the theories of critical race theory is that those who have been in power for the last 500 years, the white people, supposedly, their words and their ideas have been used to oppress minorities. So therefore, since the white people have controlled words and ideas for so long, they've created a monopoly. So their free speech needs to be taken away from them for a time in order to level the playing field. And these people are serious about this. Here's an article from Time magazine last week. Free speech is a white male obsession. Elon Musk only cares about free speech because he wants to oppress. So it's amazing, isn't it? You would think that the left would be all for free speech, but they've turned this whole thing on its head, where now free speech is evil. Because their crusade for free speech over the last 60 years was never really about free speech. It was about their worldview being heard and accepted. And if free speech is now hindering that, they're against free speech. And we know the game. Evil, when it's out of power, complains that the righteous are not allowing for their free speech. But once evil gets into power, it no longer believes in free speech. And this game is a proven fact. Everyone knows that the ACLU has been a crusader for free speech throughout the first half of the 21st century. Free speech for communists, free speech for homosexuals, free speech for pornographers. But now that the culture has accepted many of those practices, in the last few years, the ACLU has done a 180 and is now fighting against free speech. And this is all being put on display by God for us to see the hypocrisy of liars. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To show us what the world looks like without God and his truth. So the left's defense of censorship, calling truth disinformation, is the story here. One evidence of all this is who the Biden administration has put as head of the disinformation board. God is putting these people out for everyone to see. Nina Jackowitz is the head of the board, and she herself is the queen of disinformation. And she's the queen of being naive, being biased, being duped by leftist disinformation. In 2017, she was one of those who claimed that the Steele dossier was real. And she claimed that the Hunter Biden laptop was created by the Trump campaign. Here's her TikTok video that's been spreading on the internet.
Hovering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared bad intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh, information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origin seems slightly less atrocious.
So, Robert Spencer in PJ Media describes her well, quote, "Biden's new Ministry of Truth czar is a lunatic." These are our moral superiors, America. These are the guardians of acceptable opinion. Is there anyone who ever saw this video who thought it was cute or funny? Likely the only people who did were members of Jakowicz's own social circle, far-left members of the Washington elite, affluent, comfortable, and untroubled by the rise of authoritarianism in the United States because they themselves are authoritarians, unquote, Robert Spencer. Psaki, when she was asked about Jakowicz's qualifications, given her support for so many issues that turned out to be lies, Psaki said she was an expert in disinformation. What does that mean? She has a degree in political science, she surfs the internet, and she has written two books about her opinion. So now that there's a pushback against this disinformation board, you know, calling it the 1984 Ministry of Truth, the Biden administration has been running for cover. Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas said there's no question he could have been more effectively could have been more effective in communicating the purpose of this newly created disinformation board after critics framed it as a crackdown on free speech. So notice it's never about the wrongness of the policy. It's just a misunderstanding on the part of the public. They just don't understand how good this will be. And over the last week, we saw a shift. At the beginning of the week, the disinformation board was all about policing domestic misinformation online. But by the end of the week, the administration was saying, no, this is only about policing foreign entities online. Before we move on, I want to make one more point about the left's justification of censorship. Understand that the unsaved reprobate mind doesn't define falsehood the way Christians define falsehood, as it has been traditionally defined. For example, the Christian with a biblical worldview defines falsehood as that which either goes against the word of God or that which is not in sync with reality. In other words, a lie on your tax returns is a lie because it doesn't sync with the reality of your wealth. But for secularists who don't believe in God and who believe they can make up their own reality, what is true or false is not based upon some objective standard, but upon outcomes. In other words, what is false is that which results in bad outcomes for them. It has nothing to do with what we traditionally mean by true or false. And this is what has been subtly taught in public schools and universities over the last 20 years. So for example, any position or statement that would threaten the left's authority or power is false because what is false is defined as what hurts them. And this is how the Pharisees viewed Christ. For them, Christ could not be the truth because he threatened their power. Now, for righteous people, truth is truth, even if it hurts me or it contradicts me. But for the unrighteous, anything that causes them pain is a falsehood. Reality must conform to them. So in a political context, anything that helps President Trump would automatically be a falsehood. Anything that hurts him would automatically be true, regardless of what is objectively true or false. Or anything that undermines Biden's authority would be considered false, even if it's true. And the clearest illustration is anything that would create vaccine hesitancy would be a falsehood, even if it's true scientifically, because it's detrimental to the desired outcome. Does this sound like an exaggeration? Well, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his Gulag Archipelago, explained that after the communists took over Russia, the courts redefined truth by judging outcomes. If it was good for the state, it was true. If it was bad for the state, it was false, regardless of objective reality. So just understand, when you're talking with those on the left about truth, their definition of truth is totally different from our definition of truth. That's why we talk past each other. And again, this war over truth, these two definitions of truth, is referenced in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17, he who speaks the truth tells what's right, but a false witness deceit. Or what Jesus said about the nature of Satan and his followers, John chapter 8, verse 44, he doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature because he's a liar and the father of lies. So there's a false worldview and a false nature that twists the very definition of truth. John 8, 45, because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. The truth they will call falsehood. So there are many issues involved in this whole topic of free speech. In conclusion, let me just quickly review what the Bible has to say about free speech. Free speech is constitutional, but is it biblical? Does or does not the king have the right to abridge the freedom of speech? Now, what the Constitution has to say about free speech is of little consequence to the Christian because the Word of God is our standard. Acts chapter 5, we need to obey God rather than men. In America, in practice, even given First Amendment rights, the courts have understood that free speech is not absolute. There are laws against obscenity. You can't falsely cry fire in a crowded theater. You can't call 911 with a false claim. When I went to public school, teachers were not permitted to teach communism as a good thing. And even DeSantis and his parents' right bill in Florida censors the free speech of transgenders, and rightly so. So no one believes in absolute free speech, neither conservatives nor liberals. The issue is where to draw the line. And the courts have pretty much made up the law as they went along, based on the social morals of the culture at any given time. As our culture has become more ungodly, pornography, which was prohibited speech, became a matter of free speech. And so in an ungodly nation, evil free speech will be allowed and righteous free speech will be censored. So really, when it comes to this fight for free speech, it's really not about free speech, but about properly discerning righteous speech versus unrighteous speech. Therefore, the only way for laws about speech to work is for the citizenship to be righteous. And the solution is evangelism, conversion, and discipleship. Because as John Adams wrote, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. First Amendment laws concerning free speech will only work if they're interpreted and applied by a biblical-based citizenship. Otherwise, free speech is just an open door for evildoers. Now, as we come to Scripture, we see that the ungodly are always against free speech, righteous free speech. King Jehoiakim cut up and threw into the fire the prophecies of Jeremiah because they opposed the king's policies. King Zedekiah threw the prophet Jeremiah in prison so his voice would not be heard in the streets. Herod silenced John the Baptist by cutting off his head. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen told the Sanhedrin, which one of the prophets did you not persecute? And even then, the Sanhedrin plugged up their ears so that they wouldn't have to listen to Stephen. Then to shut him up, they stoned him to death. In Acts chapter 22, verse 23, when Paul spoke in the temple, the people tossed dust into the air in order to keep Paul from speaking. Because they didn't agree with what Paul was teaching, they said he shouldn't be allowed to live. And the ultimate rejection of truth was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and truth is crucified. I mean, that's all we need to know about the bent of this world. And Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. people of this world because of a bias against God and a bias towards sin that don't want to hear the truth. And so they'll persecute it, both religious truth and political truth that touches on God's moral law. George Orwell again, quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who proclaim it." Last week in China, the largest Christian website has been shut down by the Chaikon government. So don't believe those who are saying that these totalitarian socialists will protect free speech. So the biblical standard seems to be that the king or the government needs to protect righteous speech and stop unrighteous speech. But as far as blanket free speech, where evil speech and righteous speech are both allowed, the Bible doesn't support that. And the main text is Deuteronomy 13:5. The false prophet is to be put to death. Or Exodus 22:18, you shall not allow a sorcerer to live. Case in point, this week in Greensboro, North Carolina, parents are trying to shut down a Satanist club in public schools. And rightly so. I mean, even in America, for the longest time, churches were tax exempt, but the Church of Satan was not tax exempt because legislators used to believe that there's no freedom for evil and the First Amendment is not a suicide pact. But in 1789, in the writing of the Bill of Rights, there was this blanket statement concerning the right to free speech and a law prohibiting the government from limiting free speech. And there are two reasons for this. First, blanket free speech will always favor the righteous. At some point, for evil to succeed, it has to take down free speech. But righteousness tends to thrive on free speech, and righteousness is not as threatened by free speech. In a fair contest, righteousness wins the argument. In public schools, in order to promote secular atheism, the left had to shut down religious free speech in public schools, put a gag order on the teaching of Jesus Christ. They could never have indoctrinated children in secularism without the silencing of God's truth. Now, Christians could survive quite well in an environment where there's an even playing field. We welcome the challenge. Prime example, the libs of TikTok, a conservative, has been simply reposting radical liberal comments on TikTok, exposing the ideology of the left. And the left was irate over this exposure, even though what was being posted was coming from the liberals themselves. It's what they believe. It's what they themselves have posted. See, to deceive, evil has to hide the truth about itself. John chapter 3, verse 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Now, the second reason why blanket free speech was written into our Constitution was this issue of who gets to decide. There's no one qualified to judge. Even though in the Old Testament, the Israeli government and the judges of Israel were given the power to curtail free speech, it was most often used against the righteous. History has shown that when governments get the power to curtail free speech, it tends to persecute the righteous. Because as in the temptation of Christ, who's the ruler of this world? Who owns the kingdoms of this world? Satan. And limiting free speech is a power that even religious groups, when they have it, abuse it. How much more the institution of the state? And these were John Stuart Mill's arguments back in his 1859 essay on liberty. Mill was a humanist. He wrote, "The goal of speech must be the discovery and the spread of truth. The reason this is necessary is that we don't all agree on what is true. If we're at all uncertain about the truth of our views, we should respect the freedom of others to offer an alternative account so that the real truth of the matter can come to the light. Even when we're certain of the truth of some issues, there are still important advantages to permitting a free discussion in which false ideas have room for expression. And Mill argues that in the long run, truth will always triumph over falsehood unless falsehood is upheld by force. Moreover, the right to censor or suppress speech is an enormous power to entrust to fallible hands. Well, these two arguments for free speech are logical and they're very compelling. But what does the Bible say? Does the Bible actually allow for blanket free speech in order to protect the righteous? That's a big question. I mean, we can't just say that the Old Testament law for the state to regulate speech has to be thrown out because in practice it becomes oppressive. However, there are some other texts of Scripture that theologians go to support absolute free speech, such as the example of the garden. God allowed for there to be the choice between good and evil. God warned them, but they were still allowed to have a choice. Therefore, from that text, some people believe the Bible supports the idea that people should have the freedom to say what they want. Others try to make the argument on the basis of liberty, Romans chapter 14, allowing for the opinions of others, or Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16, the judges of Israel were told to hear both sides of an argument. So if that be the case, falsehood has to be heard. I really don't have a quick and easy answer to this. It might be one of those ethical situations where God doesn't give a specific answer, but he expects a people to use righteous discernment in each case so that it becomes a test of what people consider true and what people consider error. But this one thing we do know: we better get it right. We better stop evil speech, and we better promote righteous speech. Because woe to the man who gets it wrong, who silences righteous speech and legalizes unrighteous speech. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. And Matthew 23:37, woe to those who kill the prophets and stone those sent by the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 2:16, those who hinder the gospel, the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. So in conclusion, let's remember the whole point of free speech, and that's to speak. All the First Amendment rights in the world are meaningless unless we practice them. We are watchmen on the wall. We are to speak the truth to the people, to warn them. So we should heed the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thanks for listening to the speaking of the truth. May Jesus Christ reign.